At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
All right. Well, welcome to the Viking Press Pass. I am Matthew Nichol, and joining me today is fifth-year senior Alex Simon. So, Alex, thanks for hopping on with me today.
Hey, thanks for having me. Really happy to be here.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I was looking forward to this one. So, you know, I think I started calling the baseball games, I believe it was your freshman year, because I think this is either my fourth or I think it might be my fifth year now doing the baseball game. So, yeah, so this is like start to finish. I think just kind of wrapping it up with your career here. You and about seven or eight other, you know, fifth year players here. So, so it's exciting, man. It's exciting. You know, I do want to kick it off there just around like the conversation around the reason to return, because you know, there's 8 fifth years that returned. Obviously, we have a host of seniors. You know, I'm just kind of curious, like, you know, what were like the thoughts and the conversations you had kind of leading up to that decision? And, you know, and I know kind of over the past year, there's, you know, some folks, you know, some seniors that made the decision, you know, they knew last fall they were going to come back for the fifth year. And some, you know, weren't really quite decided yet. Walk me through just that like thought process, and you know, kind of when did you really kind of decide to come back?
Yeah, so it was about junior year where I started thinking about it. I remember kind of the exact moment. I was in Kansas. I remember coach asked me, he's like, "Hey, are you coming back for a fifth year?" And kind of without hesitation, I was like, "Yeah, I mean, for sure." Like I was definitely in. It was never really a thought of mine to go somewhere else. It's kind of always, I wanted to be here. I mean, this is where I fell in love with baseball again. This is where like I have my best friends at. Like I couldn't see myself playing anywhere else.
So you mentioned you fell in love with baseball again. Like, talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah. I mean, so it was, my senior year, COVID happened and I missed my whole senior season. And before that I committed to Augustana. You know, I've always wanted to play baseball in college. But I mean, freshman year coming here and like meeting all the guys, it kind of flipped a different level of love for baseball for me. Cause not only did I love playing baseball, but I also had a team where I was surrounded by people I hung out with every day, people I shared laughs with every day, people I was with 24/7. You know, and that was really kind of the switch where I just started loving it more and more and more.
Now, is it, you know, is it a little bit as well, like the style of baseball Augie plays, like it's, you know, it's small ball, it's getting folks on, you know, base, moving them around, you know, button to get, you know, folks to advance to second and third. Like, is it that style of baseball that you really enjoy as well? I mean, what were some of the other things that, you know, just around like the Augie program that, you know, kind of, I don't know, maybe are like near and dear to your heart?
Yeah. I mean, when I was coming here, as a recruit, well, in high school, I was leadoff hitter. Like I was an on base guy. That, I mean, that was my, that was my 2-1 go to, you know. And you know, when I looked here, I looked at the history and I looked at Coach Wallace, and I noticed since like 2000, he hasn't had a season under 25 wins. You know, he was a winning coach and I wanted to be part of a winning program. It was a big thing when I was going into recruiting. It was where I wanted to be. I wanted to be in a successful program and I wanted to be somewhere where I could succeed and go to the next level, as a team. You know, in our first 3 years, we did that. We set records, and, you know, we did that doing small ball. And small ball has been the name of the game where, you know, it's worked for us so many times where we do the little things right.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And honestly, that's, you know, I've noticed it over the last couple of years where it's like, you know, we go through a couple of game stretch where, you know, maybe where we're not executing it, you know, as much. And it's like, that's, you know, that's where we're losing, you know, those kind of 1 and 2 run games. You know, we're leaving, you know, extra folks on base, you know, cause we're maybe, you know, popping the bunt up versus laying it down. You know, and I remember a couple of years ago, I can't remember who it was I was talking to. It was at one of the football tailgates. They're talking about just like how much the team practices like bunting, situational bunting. And, you know, it's just, to me, you know, when I initially heard that, you know, it started to kind of make a lot of sense around how much focus, you know, you put on that aspect of the game when, you know, kids today are in programs there, you know, launch angle and home runs and, you know, some of the other things. And actually last night on the broadcast with North Park, Greg Sager's the voice of North Park. And, you know, he was talking a lot about how North Park, you know, and us are very similar kind of in that nature and in that style. And he did comment on your stirrups as well. He's like, that was about as old school as it gets. So they love that, by the way. Yeah, I mean, I love the strategy, you know, behind how we play, you know, how we really kind of mix things up. So it's, man, I can tell you what, like, you know, you talk about like falling in love with it, like, absolutely, like, you know, as a, you know, baseball was always probably like a third, you know, third sport for me, but man, Aggie baseball is like, it's up there for me. So, yeah. So it's been awesome. Now in your fifth year, now are you working part-time down at the Arsenal?
Yeah. Yeah. So I've been part-time during the school year, for at the Rock Island Arsenal, and full-time during the summer for the past 3 years now.
Yeah. I was looking on, your LinkedIn and it's like, you know, it says you're a geospatial engineer intern, so that at the Army Corps of Engineers. Now, like, what does that mean?
So, yeah, I mean, a little background. So I'm a double major here at Augustana, geography and environmental studies with a minor in GIS. And what that really is that minor in GIS. I'm guessing you don't know what GIS is either, because everyone I tell, they have no idea what GIS is. And I had no idea going into college what GIS was, but here I am now doing it for a living, or wanting to do it for a living. But it's really spatial analysis, making maps, using spatial data to find patterns, querying data. The Army Corps of Engineers deals a lot with environmental projects. A lot of that, you need to map out spatial data, need to know where things are, especially on levees. Building maps about where utilities are around the levees, lock and dams work a lot on. It's a lot of environmental projects, you know, when I first got the job, going into my junior year, I have only taken one GIS class and I was, you know, I really like GIS. I was a big map person. It's funny to say, but you know, I love looking at maps. It was kind of my my go-to thing, and I was nervous going into it because I still had no idea what like GIS and a job stance was. But then I got there and I, you know, just like I did with baseball, I slowly started falling in love with it here at Augustana. You know, and it's only been going better for me. I recently just got a job too, in St. Petersburg, Florida, in GIS. That opportunity is really, I would say that's why I, big reason why I got that job down in Florida. I mean, that's where I wanted to be. And I can't thank it enough for the opportunity I had with the Army Corps of Engineers that really got me that job.
Now, are you using like satellite imagery, you know, to look at the area or?
Yeah. We use a lot of different types of imagery, like historical imagery too. One of the things I work on, it's called FUDs. It's formerly used defense sites, where I often get requests from maps that are from like the 1920s, 1860s that are really drawn out because they, you know, they didn't have the technology back then. So they're drawn out on a piece of paper, and I have to bring that piece of paper into this ArcPro program, and it's called georeferencing. It is bringing the paper into the machine. So, you know, it's like a puzzle almost. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. I don't know if a lot of other people would enjoy it. It's one of those things, but, you know, it's really cool. I'm a history geek, so.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Like, so when you're doing stuff for like the lock and dam, when you talk about some of the utilities, are you like plotting that, like where it's at, like underwater, or is it really more like on land? Like what did you really mean by that?
So I work more with levees, lock and dams. It's usually kind of given like imagery reports where you kind of just send an imagery request of like the most recent satellite data they have of the area. It was more for levees. They call them O&M manuals where you kind of label out where all like the water pipe or their pipes are, utilities, where there's been recent updates along the levee. This usually happens when the levee overtops or breaks from floods. I mean, you've lived in the flood cities, you know, it floods here all about the time. It. Yeah. And it's interesting because the Rock Island side has levee, but the Davenport and Bettendorf, or the Davenport side doesn't. And I mean, almost every year that side floods. And that's because, I mean, when you have a levee on one side, it pushes all the water onto the other side. So that's why the flood gets so much worse on that other side, because, you know, you have that levee on the Rock Island side.
Well, and that's been one of the conversations since, I mean, I've lived here my whole life, of why, you know, Davenport and, you know, Buffalo and down through Muscatine, like, you know, why we have never done a levee, because it's like all you're doing is just pushing that water, you know, further south and just kind of, you know, exacerbating the issue. You know, so we've always just been like, all right, well, we'll just take kind of the brunt of it. But, you know, at some point it's like, you know, that impacted downtown, like, you know, some years it's awful, you know, some years it's like, you know, cross the road and it goes back and we're fine, you know, no big deal. But yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, when I saw that, I was trying to understand exactly, like I did a little bit of, you know, a little bit of research on it, but didn't quite truly understand, like, okay, in plain, you know, plain layman's term, like, what is it that you're doing? So that's super cool. I don't know if I've ever talked to anybody that's ever done anything like that before. Do you have to have like any particular like clearances
for that, or ground check? I had to get my fingerprints done. I think it's a little less security when you're an intern. So yeah, it's nothing crazy. No like full on security, no classified information for me. So
now, have you ever like pulled up a satellite image and like saw something that was like really surprising or like odd and you're like, oh, that's kind of interesting, or like you wouldn't have expected that?
I mean, I'd say more looking at like historical imagery. I remember I did a request a couple weeks ago in Chicago, and my mom lives in Chicago downtown, and she lives right by Navy Pier. And I remember doing historical imagery for Navy Pier, it was kind of just interesting seeing how it changed. I mean, the history of Navy Piers, they used to use that for one of the World Wars training sites for pilots, and kind of turned it into an entertainment venue. So it was kind of interesting to see how that's changed over time. But I mean, other than like I know I always see on social media, like, oh, creepy photos of like on Google Earth. Nothing of that lines, nothing of nothing that crazy.
All right. Yeah. It's like, you know, you saw, what's it? The latest satellite imagery of like Mars that, you know, they said it had like the perfect square and, you know, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of weird things, but no, that's cool, man. That's super cool. So, you know, so you're going down to, you said St. Petersburg is what you said down in Florida. So what will you, I mean, so you'll be doing GIS for them, but is it still like in somewhat relation to like a Corps of Engineers type role, or?
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Or is it like is it a private company or?
Yeah, it's a private company. It's more on the civil engineering side. Company's called Kimley Horn. One of their partners is actually the Tampa Bay Rays. They told me one of their partners was the Tampa Bay Rays, and you know how their stadium just got destroyed from the hurricane. Mm-hmm. And they're at that minor league field. So, I mean, I know they haven't passed a budget or a bill yet with the St. Petersburg government about getting a new top for that field. But it would be just working along those lines of apartment buildings, you know, waterfront stuff.
Got
you
it.
Know, I, yeah.
Cool. Why did you specifically like target Florida, or were you just kind of really looking for those types of roles and that just happened to be kind of where you landed?
Yeah, I was looking southeast. Both my brothers just recently moved to Charlotte. So I was looking a little somewhere more warmer than Charlotte. I was looking southeast, like Savannah, Charleston, all parts of Florida, some in Texas, New Orleans, that area. And, you know, I just wanted to be somewhere warmer. I just wanted to get out of the cold, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, it's nice to move away and kind of experience something different and, you know, so all for that. Now let's talk just, you know, kind of briefly a little bit, about the season. You guys played, you know, North Park last night, 500 on the season so far, you know, 0-2 in conference. You know, we just kicked off conference play, but, you know, obviously last night was a tough loss. We were talking a little bit about that prior, to kicking this off. But, you know, what was really like the post game kind of huddle message, you know, from, you know, Coach Wallace and, you know, to the team last night?
Yeah, it was, didn't really say much. It was more of, we're going to talk about it today at practice. I think he was saving it. You know, it was a late game. I think he just wanted to get out of there. You know, there's a lot of things to unravel with that game. There's not just one thing that lost us that game. There's a lot of things that lost us that game that we need to be better on. And I know Coach is going to bring those up today, and we're going to work through that. So it wasn't like an in-depth conversation last night. It was a more, yeah, we're going to talk tomorrow and go through everything. So. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, as you're thinking a little bit about this year, you know, I'm sure you've had a ton of time to just reflect on it. Like, what do you feel is like, you know, the missing piece that just isn't, you know, either quite fitting yet, or it's like, we got to get over this hump. Is it, you know, it's not a capability thing in my perspective. I mean, we got all the skill and capability in the world. Yeah. Do we feel, you know, it's almost like, are we in this like yips phase where, you know, it's like more of like a mental thing. What do you feel like, you know, kind of the team is at general, and you know, what's the hill maybe we're trying to overcome?
Yeah. I mean, two things I think everyone could agree on: executing. We haven't executed, I think, at the little things yet this year. You know, some games we have, some games we do the little things right. But I mean, I just, in years past where we won the two conference championships, I mean, every game we did the little things right, and we just executed. You know, that's the big word that we were able to do. And I feel like this year, you know, we haven't executed where we needed to. You know, conference is all about those one run games, those close games, and you need to execute when it's presented to you. I mean, it's a team game. It's not just one person that loses us a game. It's on everyone. I mean, you could look at something in the third inning that people forget about, and people only remember like the last out of the game or the last play of the game, but it's really six, seven, eight things that happen in the middle of the game that, mm-hmm. I mean, I think some people would just brush off, you know. That's also what you got to do in baseball, is just move on from it. But I mean, second thing too, I'd say, is just, we just need to get on a roll, man. You know, that's a big thing about baseball, is just getting on a roll. You know, we started to get on a little roll, you know, and then kind of just hit a blank page, you know, and we just gotta start executing and just getting on a roll and kind of going to practice every day and realizing, hey, like, you know, we're one of the most talented rosters in the CCIW. We just gotta play, and we just gotta know that we could win this thing. And it's confidence too. It's a lot of little things that I hope we talk about today at practice. And I hope guys kind of look at themselves in the mirror and, you know, take the little things not for granted and realize it's a part of baseball. Like in the MLB, you know, every time I watch, or not every game, but they bunt, they do the little things, mm-hmm. you know, it's not like just we do it. You know, they take pride in it, and they execute it. We just got to do the same thing as well.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it is. And, you know, it's funny you talk about, you know, it's things kind of along the way. Cause if, you know, if I'm watching a game, you know, at home, and, you know, my wife's sitting next to me, and I'm like, ooh, you know, and this is like the fourth inning or something, you know, I may say, ooh, that might cost them the game down the road, you know, cause we left three people on, and it's like, gosh, we, you know, first three innings, we haven't got anybody on, and great opportunity there. And, you know, so it's like, those little minor things, but it's, you know, that's why baseball, man, it's a tough sport. I mean,
yeah,
you know, there's so many different things that kind of play into it. But you take a look at, you know, what this team has done. Was it 2 years ago? I mean, you guys won what, 19 or 20 games in a row, and just rattled off absolutely everybody. So, you know, so you think about, you know, the talent that's on this roster. Well, all you fifth years were here. All you seniors were here. You know, we're missing a few other people like Verbancic and, you know, Zanuck and, you know, a couple of pitchers, but that's really about it, you know, that weren't on that team. So no, it's exciting, man. I mean, I think it'd be nice to see, you know, we play, you know, I'm going to knock on wood here. I mean, we play well at home. You know, we've got Milliken this weekend. So I think it's a good opportunity to come back and get some W's. So, now, you know, I wanted to talk through a little bit is, you know, you and Aragon, I believe are the only two on the team that switch hit. And, you know, at what age did you start, you know, start that process and start switch hitting, and, you know, kind of walk me through, like, when did you say, like, did you just try it and like you were good at it, so you committed to it, or you're like, hey, I'm just going to commit to doing this, and there was a like a specific reason behind it?
Yeah, I mean, it was probably, geez, young. I was like 8 years old, maybe. We used to have this field where I grew up. It's called Nike Field, and it was kind of like a soccer field that we turned into a baseball diamond. And in left field, at about 150 feet, you had a house that was kind of the fence, and in right field, you had this big old tree and about 400 feet. And we used to play this thing called racquetball, where instead of a baseball bat, you use a tennis racket. And sometimes it was beneficial to swing lefty because if you hit it up in the tree, I mean, you're running for days. And that's kind of where I started switch hitting is kind of just, you know, I was just doing it for fun. You know, I didn't know it'd be something I'd be doing for, you know, the rest of my baseball career. But I mean, it's all I really ever known. It feels like it's kind of facing righty on left, lefty on right. Like I remember a couple years ago, I was facing Bryce Lucky inside and I was the only one facing against him. And I was like, hey, you want me to go righty? So he doesn't get all lefty at bats. And I remember I was like, I don't know how people do this. Like it's totally different from a righty on righty. I mean, it's definitely something you got to get used to. And it's not something I was used to. I don't know if I could ever do it. I mean, I'm blessed. That I,
you know, there was a clip last year I saw. It was a kid. I don't know if he was in the Little League World Series or something like that, but after every pitch, he went to the other box and switched. And it was like just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, you know, and I'm like, that just takes a ton of talent just from a mechanic perspective, you know, to just do it naturally, right? So you're not like thinking about, okay, my hand's got to be here. I've got to step here now. You know, you're just executing. You're just swinging the bat. Do you naturally like one side or the other?
I mean, I always thought I had better contact lefty and more power righty. You know, it's one of those things where I don't need to work on my righty swing as much because that's my natural side. Lefty, I do need to think more about mechanics. Do need more reps on the left-handed side because, you know, I'm sure once my baseball career is over and in like 10 years, I don't know if I'd still be able to swing lefty if I take all this time off or if it's just going to become natural to me. It's one of those things where when I do things lefty, like I can't swing a golf club lefty, but there is a lot of things I can do with my left hand that I can do with my right hand. I realized this, like, I think it was after my junior year, I got tendonitis in my elbow and there's a lot of things I couldn't do in my right hand. So I started switching to left, like playing darts. I was able to, you know, figure that out and be pretty accurate with it. You know, it's one of those things that I kind of, when I get bored, I just try to do it lefty, like writing down stuff. You know, I always just kind of enjoyed the challenge of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, as a position player, you know, for kind of the majority of, I'd say, that first part of your career, I mean, you primarily played, you know, over there on third base, and then, you know, you'd kind of jump behind, you know, home plate, you know, from time to time to give, like, you know, Griffin, you know, should go to, like, a, you know, a day off or something like that. Heck, I want to say, I mean, I think I've even maybe seen you at first base at some point. You know, but you've been in the DH spot, you know, a number of times this year. So, you know, I think about, like, super versatile. You know, coming into, you know, this year, was that like a preseason discussion and decision, like, you know, knowing, you know, hey, you're going to kind of rotate around, you know, knowing we've got like four catchers, you know, kind of in that mix a little bit. You know, has your role kind of like changed a little bit? I mean, what's different about this year than maybe, you know, the past four?
Yeah, I mean, first couple of years, you know, I came in and I was primary catcher, right? And, you know, they needed a third baseman and I've played a little third base too. So, you know, I played third base, but it was, I don't know if you remember freshman year and sophomore year when I played third base, but I often kind of brought in my catcher instincts where sometimes I'd go in and block a ground ball, drop on my knees, block it. You know, it was kind of, it's still natural to me to do that. But then, yeah, going into junior year or no, senior year, that's when I started playing first base more. That's when Moz left, you know, there's an opening there. And, you know, we brought in some guys who can play on the left side of the infield. So, yeah, it was kind of rotating the catcher or first base and then catcher as well when they needed me. You know, there wasn't a a big discussion. I know I knew I'd be playing more catcher and first base this year. But, you know, it started off the season real slow. You know, other guys come in and, you know, play. And, you know, that's kind of where the switch up started happening is, you know, when I started not getting in a role, you know, and other guys start coming in. So.
Yeah. And, you know, because I was, you know, I was thinking about like, you know, the last, especially like, you know, 2022, 2023, even a little bit last year, just great examples of, you know, it feels like once we hit that conference tournament, like, you know, we're managing injuries, you know, and it's like, it feels like, you know, as I was thinking just a little bit about this, you know, it's like, how do we keep, you know, some of our seniors and fifth years fresh going into, you know, kind of the back end of the season, into conference tournament, you know, into, you know, what's hopefully going to be playoffs, into the tournament. You know, so I wasn't sure if it was just like, hey, we're going to keep you kind of engaged and then, you know, go from there, or if it's just like, you know, whatever the kind of decision was. So, you know, is there a position that, you know, you like, or, you know, prefer kind of, you know, one over the other? Like, you know, do you prefer to play, you know, play catcher than, you know, third or first? Or
yeah, I mean, I love playing catcher. I mean, that's been my primary position in high school, and I, you know, I just love throwing guys out. I mean, that's one of my favorite things about baseball. It's one of my favorite feelings, is throwing a guy out, you know, kind of just letting loose on a ball. Is just, I love doing that. So
have you, like, as I was thinking about, like, you know, even thinking about freshman catcher, like, you know, August Bessemer, what types of, like, tips and advice do you find, you know, yourself giving, like, freshmen, you know, in their first year, you know, whether it's, you know, specifically with, like, August as a catcher, or mm-hmm. it's just more general around, you know, freshmen coming in around how you play certain balls, certain situations, like, what types of, like, tips and advice are you just finding yourself, like, having side conversations on?
Yeah, I mean, I know with freshmen especially that you don't gotta, one thing I say is just don't gotta do too much. Don't overthink things. You gotta let things go. You know, there's, you don't have a million opportunities, and one's not gonna ruin you. One can't control you. That's been a big thing, I feel like, is just understanding to let things go. You know, not everything's gonna be perfect all the time. You don't gotta do too much, meaning, you know, you don't gotta pick off every runner that's on first base. You don't have to backpick every runner on first base. You gotta know the scenario. You know, it's not travel ball anymore, where it's all about, like, yourself. It's more of a team aspect, where you gotta understand what's best for a team to succeed. You know, I think a lot of guys are slowly starting to realize that, where it, you know, it's not something where you got to look at your stats every day or be a part of a game every day. It's like, what you got to do for the team to succeed. It's all about the team. You know, this is college. Like, this is, you know, this is the end of the line for a lot of us guys. Like, this is it. You're not trying to impress anyone. You're not trying to go anywhere else. You know, this is where you're trying to succeed. And, you know, I'd say it's just a big thing. It just, guys need to take, like, a deep breath, you know, realize there's a lot of things you can't control in baseball, but there's even more you can't control. And, you know, it's taking a step back, taking a deep breath, and realizing, hey, going to get another opportunity is just one of the big things that, you know, I keep saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, coming out of high school, like, how did you, you know, kind of land on Augustana specifically, like, you know, as your choice? Like, you know, I know you talked about, you know, you wanted to go to, like, a winning club, you know, so that aspect of it. Was there anything, you know, particular about, you know, the college as well that you were, you know, that drew you, you know, to the school outside of just baseball? And
yeah, I mean, it was a big discussion of, whether I wanted to play baseball or just go go somewhere else. Both my brothers went to – one of them went to Arizona State and one went to Utah. So I was looking at colleges out west. But, you know, I took – like I went to Holy Cross out in Worcester, Massachusetts, about like four times. I was in discussion with this coach and, you know, it really fell through the doors. One of the first – colleges that contacted me was like Eastern Illinois, and then they texted me and I kind of went through that whole process, fell through, you know, and then I had Zach Gooding, who was a year above me. I played high school ball with him and I was pretty good friends with him, and you know, I came on a visit here and it was kind of just love at first sight. It was just instantly felt like this is where I needed to be. You know, you just got to trust your gut sometimes. And mm-hmm. something I didn't have visiting these other colleges where I just felt like a number. Here, I felt like I could contribute. And I felt like we could do something here. And it's something that I wanted to be a part of. It was also somewhere where I wanted to be. It was meeting everyone. It was just like, I see myself here and this is, I can't see myself anywhere else. And that was kind of, I remember on the car ride back, I was kind of just realizing like, wow, this might be where I'm going to go. And, you know, I'd never really thought about going to a small school. It wasn't really in my mind. I mean, I got a lot of texts, a lot of emails from D3 schools, but I kind of just brushed them off. I didn't know if I wanted to do that, but I'm so happy I took this visit here. Once I came here, I didn't visit anywhere else. It was kind of, this is it. Like, this is a spot.
Absolutely. No, that's awesome. I was thinking a little bit about, you know, as I was, I try to find just like oddities as I'm, you know, on background on, you know, on folks before I go into here. So I'm going to flash a picture up here, but it's like one of the things I saw was on Prep Baseball Report, you know, in 2020. I found this like senior pitcher here. Where did it go here? See if it'll pull it up. There it is. It had, you know, had all the different players, you know, with you, you know, right there, you know, in your catcher gear, but it had you as like a right-handed pitcher in third base. So did you ever, you know, pitch as well? And did you also play at third base? I know you said you primarily were a catcher, but.
Yeah. I mean, in high school for high school, I just caught, that was it. I was catcher. And then travel ball, I actually played everywhere. Like every position. I think I played 1 year except for first base. The only position I've never played before coming here was first base. And, I pitched. I was a very, interesting pitcher, I'd say, 'cause I would switch off kind of like Johnny Cueto with his, legs. You'd kind of step up very slowly. I used to do that, and I also used to switch from going overhand to underhand as well. It was almost like every pitch that I'd be switching, and you know, it's, sometimes you know it was just a hot mess. But it was kind of like when I'd go 0-2 or 1-2, I'd go underhand and try to give them the high heat, you know, because that's a tough pitch to a rising fastball like that. So it was when I came in here too, I was a two-way and I threw one bullpen and I kind of just called it after that. I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to be a position player here. First couple years when I played summer leagues out in the suburbs, you know, early in the summer, a lot of D1 guys are still in the tournament. So I needed to pitch. I had a summer coach text me like, hey, we need you to pitch. And I'm like, all right. And I remember it was like sophomore year or something. I think it was freshman or sophomore year. I came in to pitch, you know, and I don't pitch here at all. And I remember I tossed like 5 2/3, 2 earned runs, like 4 or 5 Ks. You know, it's something I kind of always wish I stuck with is pitching. You know, I always wonder where I'd be, how fast I'd throw. But, you know, maybe in a men's league I'll come back to pitching or
you know, you made me think of The last pitch I ever threw, it was our Little League All-Stars. And, you know, we were, you know, we had won our local area. We were in our regional area on our, you know, trying to work our way through like the Midwest for the Little League World Series. And I remember we were out in Durant in Durant, Iowa. And we were practicing and they're like, okay, we want to start rotating a few other kids. And I could throw, I was a shortstop, but I could throw super hard. I just had zero control. And I just remember, I was like, you know what? I have no idea how to throw a changeup, but I'm going to try and throw like a off speed pitch. And I just remember, his name was Matt. I can't remember his last name. He knocked that thing a mile long, and that was the last pitch I've ever thrown. So I was like, all right, my career as a pitcher is done. So yeah, I'll go back to shortstop. Now, the other night, I saw this post on X, and it made me think of you coming into this conversation. And I thought it was really interesting because it said on opening day this year, every single starting catcher worked out of a knee down setup. I thought that was interesting. I think probably more of a, I guess, a traditional kind of catcher setup than anything, but, do you work through, you know, different like kind of knee down setups? And, I don't really pay probably as much attention cause I'm usually looking at, you know, the pitcher and then you're covered up by the umpire, when I'm calling the games, but how do you work different setups, you know, behind home plate?
Yeah, with no one on, I usually go one knee down. And then with someone on base, I usually go up in a squat. And then if I know for sure that the guy's not running, I kind of sometimes try to bring a knee down. I know I was taught in high school kind of on a borderline pitch kind of to settle a little more when you're in a squat is kind of trying to bring that knee down, especially on an outside pitch. You know, it's definitely easier to frame with one knee down. That's definitely kind of the struggle with squatting. But, I mean, with the squat, I feel like I have a better chance of throwing guys out, being ready for that, being ready for blocks. You know, it's something that you kind of just got to realize with guys on runner and base is, I mean, especially with the low ones, you know, it's tough being in the squat, especially with the long legs I got. It's kind of tough to get down there. But I mean, yeah, with the one leg down, I just never felt comfortable being able to block with guys on runner on base. So especially with two strikes, no one on, I'm in a squat as well. I always kind of, whenever I'm catching, I always think of a Kerry Woods 20 strikeout game and the catcher, when his knees used to kind of, I don't know if you know the video I'm talking about, but from that game, I always watch the highlights and his like knees are kind of inwards and his legs are out. And I don't know why I always think about that when I'm catching and how uncomfortable that is.
I'll have to take a look at it later today. So you know, because I was, you know, as I was thinking a little bit about like you know, that I was curious, like, you know, the conversations of you know, if you don't feel like, you know, we're getting the calls we, you know, should be, you know, would you go more into like a knee down setup to try and give the umpire like a little bit more perspective? You know, sometimes that can make him, you know, a little bit easier for him to judge it. You know, do you ever like think about that as well? Or you're like, God, we're not getting the pitches we want. You know, I feel like they're right there. So we'll kind of adjust it a little bit.
I mean, I'd say it's definitely easier. I don't want one knee, especially for the umpire to look. You know, I'm a bigger catcher, so I know when I squat, especially with a smaller umpire back there, it might be a little tougher to see. But I also kind of – I think I get that benefit as a bigger catcher with kind of getting more strikes called because, you know, a lot of umpires kind of judge balls by based on where the ball's caught at with the catcher, and if it's above their face mask, you know, it's a ball. And feel like since I got that kind of bigger build, I mean, I sometimes get those higher calls, or those more outside calls just cause I got long arms too. You know, there's a lot of benefits to it. You know, I really just try my best, especially with one leg down, kind of sometimes, you know, I don't know if you noticed, but sometimes I fumble balls when my leg's down. You know, I try to frame them, try to kind of be a little too perfect sometimes, which I've been kind of realizing I need to kind of not be as perfect with my frames. You know, I just kind of just need to frame the ball good, not try to get a strike call on every pitch, you know?
Yeah. Do you have conversations with, you know, with the umpire around, you know, like, you know, where'd you see that at, you know, and trying to like understand from his perspective, you know, I'll try and pull it in a little bit. I'll try and pull it in. Like, do you ever have like those little like conversations with umpires?
Yeah, I don't really talk that much to the umpires, you know, in a game. I'm pretty much locked in. Like I don't know what's going through my head. There's probably nothing going through my head. That's like, all I'm thinking about is the pitch. Like, you couldn't tell me what we threw three pitches was, you know, I'm so like locked into the moment. But whenever I get a call, that's kind of, you know, 50-50, or I think it's a strike. I say his name, like, "Hey, Mike, I think that's a strike." Like, I tell him straight up, like, "Hey, I think that's a strike." You know, it's not, I try to be affirmative with it. I don't try to say like, "Hey, I think that was a, you know, maybe a strike." Mm-hmm. You know, I'm always just like, "Hey, that's there." And, you know, I try to convince him that like you made the wrong call, so that he hopefully gives us one back. You know, I'd say morally just brutally honest with the umpires. You know, I'm not here to make friends with the umpires. You know, it's their job, and I got a job to do too as well.
You're ultimately going at bat. You know, for the pitcher, and you know, so.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to jump to, you know, let's talk a little bit about, I'm going to read off some stats here, and it's like, you know, only because, you know, it's like, obviously you're a very decorated player. You know, you have like 7 of the top 10 records. I'll just read off some of them, but I have some follow-up questions on them, but, you know, but it's like, you know, the number one most at bats by a far, I mean, you're 704 as of last night. That's like 33 over the next one. Most, you know, games played, you know, your top 6 in on-base percentage, as well as doubles, number one by walks by far, you know, top 10 in hits, top 10 in RBIs, number one hit by pitch, number two, you know, runs scored. I think you just need 2 more runs and you'll be, you know, tied for number one with Mark Blakely. It's basically like you and Mark Blakely. Like, that's kind of who's going after some of these. But what I think about, like, one, you know, the Vikings, you know, thinking about the hit by pitch first for perspective, the Vikings consistently rank high in that hit by pitch, you know, kind of in the country, as well with like Misericordia. Is it about like, are the approach, is it like the setup at the plate? Like, what do you think contributes to like that statistic, maybe more so than like other teams? Unless people just hate us. I don't know.
No, I'm sure some teams do, but I know a lot of pitchers. I mean, talking with guys on our pitching staff, I know how much pitchers hate when guys are up on the line, up on the plate. We're told with 2 strikes to get your feet on the line. I feel like most of our hit by pitches come with 2 strikes almost, because we have guys that are on the line. I know more for me specifically, what I contribute a lot to those numbers is, I mean, my feet are always on the line. In my sophomore year, I started going into a stranded stance, where my front foot is more in front of, and then my back foot is more far behind. And that kind of gives the illusion that I'm kind of closer to the plate, more on top of the plate. you know, I know it's more of a head case for the pitchers when you're close to the plate. I know they're thinking about it more, and that's kind of been my go-to when I'm up there. Is I want to make the pitcher feel uncomfortable, and I wanted him to challenge me inside. And if they do, I mean, in last night's game, he tried to challenge me inside, and you know, the pitch was right on the line, and it hit my knee because I'm right on the line. I mean, that's just kind of like my go-to, and that's kind of this. I mean, my goal every at bat is to find a way on. I don't mm-hmm. care if it's an error. I don't care. That's why I like the bunt. You know, I like to challenge a third baseman to make a play. Like challenge a pitcher to make a play. It's been my big thing. It's just find a way on, and you know, next guy up.
Now, stats aside, you know, because I mean, obviously, you know, you're very decorated in that perspective. You've been very successful and, you know, had a lot of great, you know, players around you, help kind of contribute to that. But when it's all said and done, like, how is it that you want to be remembered, you know, for your 5 years here when, you know, someone looks back and, you know, they say Alex Simon, then what?
Yeah, I think the big thing like this year is just Alex Simon's the guy who gets hit by pitch. I mean, I feel like that's kind of been a big thing. But, I mean, I just want to be remembered as someone who just, you know, got on base when we needed it. You know, it's just it's tough. I don't really think about, like, what I want to be remembered as. It's kind of – I haven't really thought about that. I kind of just – I'm so in the present with life. I really don't dole over the past. Don't think about the future too much. I live way too much in the present. You know, I try to make everyone around me better. I try to, you know, whenever I see someone struggling or someone that's kind of getting mad at themselves, I always try to go up to them and be like, hey, calm down, man. It's just baseball. It's just a game at the end of the day. It's not your life. You can't let baseball, you know, control your life emotionally. Like, it's just, I mean, that's just how it used to be for me is baseball. If I had a bad day to play, I mean, my whole week was ruined, you know, and it's just, I felt like a disappointment when I had just struck out or something. And that's kind of, I mean, coming here is just, I kind of realized like, hey, it's just a game. You're going to get another opportunity, man. Just like everything in life, you're going to get another opportunity. It's just, but yeah, big thing is just, I don't think like that. I live in the moment and, yeah.
Well, I think what you said is Alex Simon, great teammate. I think that's what, I think what you'll be remembered as. I mean, those are all, you know, great examples of being a great teammate, helping others when, you know, when they're struggling, you know, playing team ball, you know, doing it right. Well, hey, I know we're kind of buttoning up a little bit, to the end of time here, but a couple quick questions and then we'll kind of wrap things up. So, you know, growing up, who are just maybe, you know, some people that made, you know, a really big impact on you were, you know, kind of influential in kind of who you are today?
I'd say big one's Chris Bryant. He was always my favorite player. I'm a big Cubs fan. My middle name's Wrigley, so baseball is kind of in my blood, you can say. But yeah, big Cubs fan. Love Chris Bryant, Ben Zobrist. Always been a big fans of them. I mean, I always try to kind of almost every year, I kind of try to pick a player and kind of replicate a swing. And someone that recently on my lefty swing has been like Freddie Freeman almost. Been looking at him, but I really like his swing. But yeah, Chris Bryant, I mean, I've always loved Chris Bryant. Always felt like kind of we were similar a little bit, players. Yeah, I'd say with him, just guy I looked up to, especially playing third base my first couple of years. I got his glove too, Chris Bryant model. So yeah,
that's a good one. I did not know your middle name was Wrigley. I like that.
Yeah,
I like it. Well, I mean, I was gonna say, what's something surprising about you that most people wouldn't expect or wouldn't know? That's something new for me. Anything else that, you know, that most people wouldn't know or expect about you?
Yeah, I mean, big thing, big two ones whenever I'm asked that question outside baseball is I'm a switch hitter, and then my middle name's Wrigley, so it's kind of those big two. I guess the third one, too, is like what I do for a living, GIS. It's always an interesting topic because about 98% of people who I have conversations with it about have no idea what it is. So it's always an interesting topic because I could talk about it for days, and something most people have never even heard of or didn't even know was a thing. And, you know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. That is super cool. Well, lastly, you know, what's been kind of your favorite Augustana moment? You know, are there a few moments or memories that, you know, just kind of stick out over your last, you know, five seasons here?
Yeah, I mean, big one is just winning conference championship. You know, there's no better feeling than winning a championship, man. It's something I crave, and it's the best feeling ever. Just to have that feeling again is kind of just a big goal this year. That's been my favorite memory by far, is those 2 years, one of those championships. And, you know, just really, I mean, every day just spending with these guys has been just a blessing. It's been favorite thing to do every day is just be with these guys in and around the field. But, I mean, one personal thing that I've really enjoyed this past couple years, I'll give you two, is when we played at home for the conference tournament, I remember it was a ninth inning against North Central, and I got a ground ball to me, and it was the last out of the game, and I stomped on third base, and that was one of the best feelings, was kicking North Central out of the end of the season. And then that's just, you know, as painful it is to say, you know, it feels great ending team season, because at the end of the day, you know, it's a competitive sport, and it's either you or them that's going to be their season ending. And, you know, it's no better feeling knowing that you're going to survive one more day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we'll certainly end on that, man. I mean, you know, I'll say it's been an absolute pleasure, you know, getting you to get a chance to watch you for, you know, your entire career here has been awesome. You know, I've certainly enjoyed it. You know, it's been an absolute ton of fun. You've had a ton of success. You know, obviously a tremendous person as well. I think you'll be leaving the program in a much better spot, you know, than even, you know, when you came here as well. So, but we'll see you tomorrow at home.
Yeah.
So doubleheader against Milliken. Good. So
yeah, hey, I'll be there. Thank you for everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Well, we'll see you tomorrow, and a couple of games to call, and hopefully we'll walk out of there with a pair of wins. Always a tough one against Milliken.
Yeah, sounds good. Hey, go Vikes.
Go Vikes.